from Mr. 305,
Dade County,
to Mr. Worldwide,
all around the world.
Hey, hey. Now, we're international, so international. Yeah. International, so international.
You can't catch me, boy.
Can't catch me, boy.
I'm overseas at about 100 G for show. Don't test me, boy.
Don't test me, boy.
Cause I rap with the
from the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown, Cape Girardeau. It's sort of Mr. 100 and the 5-Star Man,
but also presents, extra.
Yeah. Presents Pro Wrestling Unscripted, presents Cape Championship Wrestling, presents Dalton Anthony.
What's up?
Hey, Dalton.
Wow, there's a lot of sponsorship to get me on the show.
Then, look, he's pulling the microphone closer to him.
I'm sorry.
Immediately.
It's habit. I think it's funny that one of the sponsors is one of the shows that I'm on.
Like, what?
Because you said Podzilla, or Mr. 100 and the 5-Star Man.
Yeah.
Featuring Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Yeah. Brought to you by Pro Wrestling Unscripted, a show right. that I'm on.
Yes.
I mean, you're a special guest on it.
On Pro Wrestling Unscripted?
Yeah.
Yeah. We never did put you back as full member.
Oh yeah, you know you're on your probationary period still.
I didn't read that in the contract.
Whose fault is that?
Yeah, that's true. Dang we have it. His apology posted to the wall here at Gaming. Yeah.
Somebody read it. So I was sitting in here a couple weeks ago, and two girls came up reading the wall, and they read the apology, and they said, "Sincerely, Dalton Anthony." And I was like,
"They're reading the apology."
And I was like, "That's me." I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. I was like, "No."
You sound like Amanda Bynes that thing.
That's me.
Hate that woman.
Never again.
All right. So, Mr. 100, 5-Star Man. Shannon Young is your host. Asa Gray is the 5-Star Man. He's down at the end of the table.
Yes.
Hi, Asa.
Hi.
Got a full house tonight. Allie, not actually a bear, who does actually not have lupus, is next to me.
Hi. That's too long. Just shorten it to the not actually a bear.
Dude, that's too long. Dalton.
She didn't say that.
Oh, she just said that. Dalton Anthony's here, the big D.
Yo.
For some reason. And his very special guest tonight, one of our favorites, he's back, on not Pro Wrestling Unscripted tonight, but it might as well be, Jason Wells. Jason, good to see you, sir.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
We're here to talk about a little bit of everything tonight, and, I said this before the show, we're gonna pull back the curtains on Cape Championship Wrestling. We're going to give you guys an inside look at the promotion that hopefully you've never seen before. We don't give away too much on these shows because we take a very kayfabe approach to it on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Mm-hmm. So we try to push the storylines and whatnot. But tonight we're going to forego all that. This is real talk. Absolutely. This is real. You've assured me that this is real talk.
This is real talk. This is what I asked for. Actually.
This is live.
This is live.
It's live. Not though. Live on tape. Live on tape.
It wasn't live 5 minutes ago, but thank God.
All right. So before we get started with that, you're going to WrestleMania.
I am going to WrestleMania.
Now Asa, you went to WrestleMania. Would you like to relay that story to everybody? I love hearing that story.
I went to the worst WrestleMania.
I'm also going to push your mic just back more because it's like when you talk versus when Jason talks, it's like, if you put, what was that guy? El Torito?
Night and day.
That's a great Khali.
It's night and day. You can just say night and day.
And you're still so loud.
We're keeping it wrestling related.
All right, cool.
Use your inside voice before I put your ass outside.
I am talking at the
before you just get kicked out of the show.
Yeah, again.
No, I've been to one WrestleMania. It was the worst WrestleMania. I still had fun though, because it's like that the energy so there sorry. With that many people.
I don't think it was the worst WrestleMania, if that makes you feel any better.
I mean,
I think the one in Chicago where Sid went against Undertaker and
I don't really think it's the worst one. I think you could probably make a conversation about it.
Maybe.
But for being there and then looking back, especially like, cause that was my first one, but the people that I went with, it was their second. Or, they went to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Shawn Michaels, Undertaker 1. Like, that was a WrestleMania.
25.
That was good.
They went to 25. That's right.
Sorry, yeah.
I don't know why. 30 was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
I was there.
You went for 30?
I was at 30. I was at 31. No? No, I was at 32. That was last year.
Yeah.
This is 33. I'll be at this one, and I'll be at next year's already.
I don't even remember last year's. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Triple H Roman Reigns.
I remember Shane.
Was last year Triple H Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Shane Undertaker.
Shane Undertaker. The best match was it was probably Jericho and AJ Styles.
Yeah, I had a big problem with, if you remember last year. Mm-hmm. I was super upset by that because it's like.
A lot of people were. I was very excited.
I mean, it was
a great match. Just this is AJ Styles' first WrestleMania.
And let's have him lose to Jericho.
It's a lot of, where people, just seen the obvious part of it, but didn't see that just made AJ Styles better, him losing.
Well, but I don't think, was Jericho pushed as hard then as he is now? Was he still?
No, I mean, he wasn't as over as he is now.
Yeah, because teaming him up with Kevin Owens really reinvigorated him in a lot of ways. And at the time, he was just, he wasn't stagnant because Jericho was always good. But he wasn't the Jericho that he has now.
He was on the upswing because he was that when he came back and he was a face. And there wasn't really anything. He was like cool rocker Jericho.
Yeah.
Which
he was Fozzy Jericho.
Yeah, which didn't really grab a whole lot of people. But right. then when he turned on AJ and AJ Styles, AJ Styles, like I love that. And then, and then it really kind of.
And then it came into the Drink It In Man and then Jericho. Like, and that was his last year.
And AJ Styles, I mean, also went on to do great things that
year. The night after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The number one contender. And then after that, they finally realized he's the best wrestler in the company.
Yeah, that he was the big star, like the one that everybody wants to get. He was, I guess he was kind of like Matt Hardy is now, except Matt Hardy, I don't think Matt Hardy's as good of a wrestler as AJ Styles. But I've always thought Matt Hardy was the better of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the, it's kind of like the Rockers.
Yeah.
You know, but Matt's way better than Marty.
Yeah.
Like on a different level. But
Marty was good too, though. Like, people didn't give Marty Jannetty a lot of credit.
Yeah, he just had his issues that kind of brought him down that he still deals with today. But, Sean was a lot like Jeff. You know, a lot of the girls liked them and stuff like that.
He was the more charismatic
one. Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, neither one of them could talk. And now, you know, Matt can talk.
Come to think of it, Jeff Hardy's not charismatic, is he?
He's an enigma.
He's an enigma
of charisma.
He's just weird. Allie, do you think that Jeff Hardy is charismatic?
I mean, the only...
Have you ever heard Jeff Hardy talk?
Isn't that what you said?
Other than isn't that what you said, Matt?
No, because I don't know that much of Jeff Hardy.
He will sing, though.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so at
it's
CCW...
It's like sing talk?
Sing talk. You mean rapping?
No.
So when Matt Hardy was at CCW at Tag Team Warfare, which was, you know, I felt like that was a week or two ago, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Because CCW is this Saturday, March Malice, this Saturday at the AC Braze Arena, Cape Girardeau. Get your tickets at capewrestling.com.
Yep.
Check us out on Facebook.
There you go.
Dalton, you want to go ahead and do the
no,
the plugs
we don't have time for that.
So when Matt Hardy was at there and he started singing that song, he's like, you guys sing along. Asa sang, and I'm going like, what are we singing? And Asa had to tell me what it was.
Because I still will follow TNA.
Yeah.
And like, that was Jeff Hardy's entrance music that Matt Hardy, but this was when, cause like, Matt Hardy is no longer just a straight up heel anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the broken Matt Hardy started as a bad
guy.
And it just went insanely over.
Yeah.
But like, that's what he made his, like, when everyone still wanted to see Jeff not be broken.
Right.
Like, they were still really pushing for Jeff Hardy, not Brother Nero. Like to embarrass him and degrade him. That's what he made his entrance music for a while, and then he just kind of applied it to everyone else around him.
All right. So, what was Matt Hardy like for the fans out there that are going, "Oh, Matt Hardy was there. That's great." Was Matt Hardy? Let's hit the hard questions.
Yeah.
Prima donna with all of the success that's going around right now for him, or was he pretty cool? Because from what you've told us, the stories you've told us, like the one about was Lamont from the Hustlers, it seems like he's a pretty funny guy. He's pretty laid back.
Matt was so laid back and cool. He literally, and you probably seen it on Facebook, every wrestler in the backstage he took pictures with.
Mm.
Like he sat there and he, anybody that would come up to him and ask him for anything, he would take time out. Whatever he's doing, he would talk and just make conversation, take pictures with him, whatever. Matt was, he's right up there. There's been a couple guys that I booked that, you know, are
in CCW or just in general?
Just in general, through the years. And he's right up there, number one or two.
Who's the worst guy you booked?
Vader.
Really?
Vader, by far.
I'm a little sad about it.
And you know it's a real one because it wasn't a, let me see. Like,
he assaulted some people and it was just a bad situation.
He assaulted people?
Yeah, you could ask Nikki Lane about that one.
Oh my.
So I'm putting that in the back of the head for Saturday.
Austin, if you're listening.
Allegedly. Oh, Austin knows. He's not Austin, a Vader fan either.
You need to come down early. We need to get Austin Lane and Nikki Lane on the show.
Yeah, we do.
Because we wanted to get Austin on the show forever, but he's up there. And, you know, we got to see Nikki for the first time in CCW at the last show.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that when she came out, me and Asa and Dalton and Allie just automatically started chanting Nikki. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, tastemakers, you know? Who else? Who's bad? I gotta know.
Bad?
Because Vader doesn't surprise me. He just seems like a soggy twig.
Yeah, he was.
you mean an overrotted log?
He was very Jesus hard. Jeez, yeah, that's rough. But he was very hard to deal
with.
Feel
so bad if he actually does die soon.
And he, with his last
he
breath,
called
he,
it.
He curses Dalton.
Oh God, if Vader listens to PZ85, I would have been a lot more scared 4 years ago.
Yeah.
What?
What about Ellsworth? Because you had James Ellsworth in a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Right before he got that WWE contract.
Yeah.
After he was on WWE TV, right before he got that sweet contract, we said this, because this was in, was this Chaffee?
Chaffee.
Yeah.
Because we were in Chaffee, and we're all getting our seats, and we look over at James Ellsworth. He's sitting at the table, the autograph table, and he just looked bored. And we were like, oh my God, how must it feel to go to WWE and then come to Chaffee, Missouri for a show? But when he got in the ring, he seemed like such a, he was really into it. He was really nice. But what was he like?
Well, James was really, he was cool. Like, I didn't have any kind of problems with James. The problem with James, though, is, he probably had, from what he said, like maybe an hour or two of sleep in 48 hours. Like there was two or three days where he didn't sleep at all. He went from the show to a plane to St. Louis to here, got done, then he went back and went to sleep. So there was two or three. He was very, you know, out of it, but he was super cool. You know, he didn't anything that I asked him to do. He did, didn't have any issues. So he's right up there. He's pretty cool. X-Pac probably right up there with Matt on one of the best guys I've ever booked.
I'm so happy.
So
Pac is incredible. He was super nice to me and treated me very well.
So if you were to ask us wrestlers we'd want to see at CCW, X-Pac is like my number one. And then like my number five is also X-Pac. Mm-hmm. And if you go to like my number 15 through 20 is still X-Pac.
Your number 420 is X-Pac.
That's Rob Van Dam. But like the top 20, X-Pac's in there like 8 times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think that's out of the question for Pac. I mean, I don't think so.
Can you give us an inside track on who we can look forward to in the next couple of months?
Oh, well, let's see, should I go ahead and announce? I don't know if I'll announce it, but Moose is coming. I've already booked Moose. And Abyss will be here also. Oh. So they're already booked for the show. They'll be here in the next few months to year. So they're already booked for it and coming in. And like I told Ken, when I go to WrestleMania,
it'll be
almost a networking event.
It's going to be huge. Yeah, for me to just to sit down and talk to these guys. Cause really, being as I have full control of book whoever I want, whenever I want, and just get whatever I want, it's when I go there, there's no one out of the question to get.
Yeah, you've done an incredible job of bringing people into CCW because not only do you have the good local wrestlers and indie wrestlers, you know, like Brandon, Barbed Wire, who's amazing, Farmer Billy Hills, which was one of our favorites, Sarge O'Reilly, Austin Lane, Hollis Giroux. I mean, this is a laundry list of people that are super exciting. No. But you got the big names in too, James Ellsworth. The first show I went to, Trevor Murdoch was there signing autographs, which was awesome.
The first show we went to was Ricochet.
Off the chart, which is the only one Allie couldn't go to.
Yeah.
And she really regrets that. Has there been anybody that you have talked to that has just too high, demanded too much, and you said, never mind, I don't need you that much?
Probably Van Damme. Van Damme was way, like, incredible. Him and I talked to Sting this past year, and it was just, you know, we offered him Comic-Con and to come in and do some stuff for the show, and it was just too much, you know, I could have got Ric Flair twice. So, I was like,
one of those things is not like the other. One of those things is in debt.
Well, the people that I've talked to and stuff and the feedback I get where people were like, hey, you know, you should get this guy. And I've already talked to him. You know,
no one says, hey, what about Cody Rhodes? Like, yeah. Who?
You don't think I've talked to Cody four or five times and we're working on stuff? I think Cody will hopefully be here within the year. Pentagon Jr. I'm big into Pentagon. Yes. I want him here. And Lee finally got a Netflix and checking out Luke Underground,
Lee, Boom Boom Room.
Yeah, of course, the Boom Boom Room. Well, the thing about Lee is he is a big man wrestler. Like he likes the big guys.
He strikes me as he likes Abdullah the Butcher matches.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah,
the hardcore and the bigger guys.
Yeah, he likes those guys. He likes and I'm cool with Nash and stuff like that. But I like the luchas and the guys that can fly around and just. You know, those are my type of guys that can just do different stuff too. And there's nothing against, you can see right now, we don't have a giant at CCW.
Yeah, Durden. Durden was probably the closest.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, Durden.
The traditional big man.
Yeah, yeah. And that was really it. And Durden, the thing about him though, he could work any kind of style that you wanted. I could put a little guy in there and they could have a great match. The match in Chaffee, he went against Cody and Hollis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, and then again, he could go in there with another big guy and they could just brawl.
Like Genesis.
Yeah. Of, I don't know who that is, but,
haven't heard from him in a while.
Exactly. Yeah. He was in jail last time I heard in Tennessee.
Wait.
No, don't put the dots together. Don't put the dots together.
But huh? They're right there,
just
guys.
Leave it alone.
No. We know a wrestler that was in jail in Tennessee and they bailed.
Quiet. Go back to sleep.
So, are you watching Paige video on your phone?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
We're actually going to talk about that tomorrow night.
Oh.
Because we all agreed, like, okay. just real quick, like, we had a literal, like, forum discussion mm-hmm. on how to talk about Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and to give a preview of tomorrow's show, this is I'm assuming everybody that's listening knows. Mm-hmm. If you're a wrestling fan, you know what happened with Paige. We don't have to get into the details. But we really talked about the line. Where do we draw the line? I'm talking about this because it is relevant. It's newsworthy, but it's also an invasion of privacy. You know, it's a real touchy subject. So we all kind of came to an agreement of what we would talk about. And we're going to do that tomorrow because it's a very controlled environment with that. Because we don't want to just be like.
It's a very gray area too. Like, you don't know who released it.
Right.
You don't know if, I mean, there's, of course she's going to come out and deny it. And that's cool. She should. I mean, because if it's a hack or something like that, yeah, that's terrible. They shouldn't have did that. But, you know, if it's Maddox is trying to actually get booked at a show for once in his life since he got released, that's something good too.
Well, I mean, they were chanting his name at Raw.
Exactly. So now people know who he is.
Yeah.
And, cause after he left, no one, he falls under that. I don't care about booking you. He goes right in there with Alex Riley and those guys who I don't give two craps about. You know, I'm not going to bring him in. They're not going to draw a dime here. No one's going to come see him. So now they know who he is. So it could have been him.
Right.
Or Paige just wants to be away from WWE and figure that was the best way to do it. There could be different rumors going around. So
I have to truly believe that this wasn't Paige just because, like, and it might be. We don't know, but I have to believe it's not because some of the stuff is pretty terrible.
But I mean, like, yeah. Some of the, like, the comments that her parents have made.
Yeah, her brother.
Are kind of upsetting.
I mean, she flat out came out and said.
And people just actively, like, sending it to her parents.
Yeah.
Like,
people
garbage
are terrible.
Humans.
People are garbage absolutely humans. Terrible. Yeah. I've told the story before about the girl that got in the car accident. And,
yeah.
And people took the picture of her dead and kept sending it to her family. People are awful.
Yeah.
People
are
just terrible.
Yeah.
I had a point I was going to make.
People can get on Twitter too. They are big shots and they talk like,
keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
The people that hide behind.
Cause they're anonymous.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. Cause I mean, if she was hacked and that's the kind of stuff that, you know, can ruin her life. I mean, yeah. I'm sure she's not very proud of that.
Yeah. And that's the thing that gets me is the people that joke about it and laugh like, oh, we got one over on a star or something like that. Like, you're ruining someone's life.
Yeah.
That's shitty. Yeah. You know, that's just shitty. But going back to Brad Maddox, me and Double H, he was in here earlier and we were talking about, Brad Maddox. And we're both, and maybe you guys feel the same way. It's like that guy just came out of nowhere and became GM just in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knew who he was.
Cause he was a ref for a while.
And yep. He screwed over Ryback.
Yeah.
And then he just all of a sudden was GM. And then
he wasn't
was
good enough
cave.
To wrestle. He wrestled in NXT and he wasn't good enough to be on the main roster as a wrestler. You know, nothing against the guy. He was in WWE and NXT.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So he's got to be decent. So I'm not taking anything away from him, but he's just wasn't on that level, but he had a good look. So, hey, let's stick him in here. Let's let him do something. He can act, you know.
He did have
see,
a good
he
look.
Had that, and he had that weird kind of like goofy charisma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That mm-hmm. for whatever reason, they only showed every once in a while, but him mm-hmm. as like a straight laced, like authority figure mm-hmm. never
work.
Really worked.
No.
And then they let him go, which he like deleted his, he had a verified Twitter account he deleted. Like it looked like
after this happened.
Cause he has
or?
Like a young child. No, no. Like after he got released.
Oh, okay.
Like he tried to wrestle for a little bit, but then like,
well, do you remember the,
but then
the
he
videos?
Had a kid and he just like gave up on
yeah,
it.
The cave
like,
videos.
It seemed like he's just done. He doesn't want anything to do with wrestling anymore.
Did you ever see the cave videos?
Yeah.
Nonsensical.
Right.
Like it was absolutely confusing. All right. So I have a question as a booker of a promotion. When something like this happens,
mm-hmm.
With Paige, with Brad Maddox suddenly being a name, would you take advantage of the situation and bring Brad Maddox on just for the name of the situation? Like, not saying anything amoral. Like, I'm not calling out your moral standpoint.
Yeah.
But is this something that you would want to jump on and go, okay, that guy's name is out there? Cause if he's innocent, then why not bring him in and you may get attention? Or is that too hot? Don't touch it.
I wouldn't be interested in it. I mean, for me, I have no interest in, you know, bringing, I mean, maybe if Xavier Woods was, you know, maybe, but not Brad Maddox. I mean, that kind of situation. And for me personally, even when one of my wrestlers goes on his Facebook and puts something very personal out there, and I've had tag teams contact me and they've said stuff on Facebook or were very just the language that they used and stuff that they said and the way they acted, I told them I have no use for them. And that's the same way. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but don't be surprised if I don't bring you back.
Right.
Is my thing. I don't want that connected.
Oh, no, that's literally like the entire thing with like the PewDiePie and like JonTron stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, yeah, you have the freedom to use your social media platform however you want to use it, but freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom of consequences.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, we are a wrestling company that has a majority younger crowd.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of kids that come and watch our show. And, you know, when parents see, you know, of course we have language at our shows and stuff like that happens. And those guys.
We've talked about them.
Yeah. Those guys.
Sarge.
Yeah. No. Everybody, we had a sit down and like discussion on this is what this show is. And I don't want to go above it. You know, things happen every once in a while. But when you go onto Facebook, and you can control everything that you're fixing to put on there. You're writing it down like letter at a time. You know exactly what you're saying. That has repercussions. And especially if that guy works at CCW and this is what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So, I mean, I'm very like, you know, I tell all the guys about that, you know.
Have you ever had a guy put something on there that was so bad that?
Not at CCW. When we were doing, you know, I was working in Tennessee and doing stuff there. You know, we would get on because there would be the younger kids would come in and start wrestling. And of course they would break up with their girlfriends and it was just a big fight. I'm like, you look stupid.
Mm.
First of all, you're supposed to be a professional wrestler. When a fan sees you, they're like, oh man, that's cool. He's a pro wrestler. He's this and he's that. And then they go on your Facebook and you're talking about breaking up with your girlfriend. It kind of brings you back down to just being a human.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you know, you have to have that almost superhero look to you.
Yeah.
When you're out. And my God, there's so many things that, you know, I want to say to people on Facebook or, you know, comment. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Something, but I have to like, okay, I want it back.
Well,
let me write it and then I delete it and that'll make me feel better.
When you get older, you really do watch your tongue more.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, especially college, I mean, one of my teachers, me and my cousin Ryan, he called us the anarchists of college
mm-hmm.
because we were so loud and just point, you know, arguing with everybody and everything. And now, you know, I'm 34.
Yeah, now
I don't care about arguing. Like I watch people argue. Anytime I do get in an argument, like last week, mm-hmm. I usually feel like an ass for it and I'm very quick to apologize. And that actually leads me to a question that I've had that I've wondered about. So Brandon, Barbed Wire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course, Barbed Wire is not his last name.
Mm-hmm.
We won't say what his last name is. just in case.
Yeah, well.
But he has two pages. He has one for himself and one for his character.
Yep.
Is that something you encourage in your wrestlers to have a separate page for your character specifically? Or do you not care if, because some guys like Cody Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just has Cody Wilson.
Yeah.
There's his Facebook. And Cody Wilson, I don't know if you've been to his Facebook. But that dude leans so far left, he's going to fall over. He's going to trip.
I mean, and, you know.
And some of the stuff's controversial that he puts on there.
Yeah. And well, when it comes to politics and stuff like that, I totally stay out of it. Say whatever you want. I don't care, you know, about that kind of stuff. As long as it's not, like, attacking a person, you know, cursing someone, you know, especially, like, just, you know, saying something that's not mainstream. You know, bringing you into a local, attacking someone, like a friend or something like that.
Right.
I don't care about. Like, me personally, I have my wrestling page and I have my personal page. I have Jason Wells and I have Jason the Brain.
And I think I'm friends with the Brain. So when I see just Jason Wells posts, I go, oh, he doesn't like me.
Yeah. No, and it's one of those, and it all started because, well, my wife being in wrestling and.
What?
Yeah. Exactly. You realize there are so many just creepy assholes out there. I mean, that are just weird. And if I take a picture of my kid and put it on there, I don't want other people like
right.
thinking other things. So right. even Instagram, I'm really like, I only let like so many people onto my Instagram because it's more personal. You know, I share my wrestling stuff on there too, but it's more friends, family, and you know, stuff like that, or people I know personally, but I don't let friends come. It's private and stuff like that, or fans, sorry. But Jason the Brain, whatever. I accept anybody, and you know, unless you got one friend and, you know, you're do porn on the side and it's got links to that on there. I'm like, nah, I'm probably not gonna.
I still added Lee.
Click on my totally click on my totally legit webcam page.
Yeah,
it only asks for your credit card information to validate your age.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
I see you're in Sykeston. Well, I'm not, first off. do you get a lot of fans from CCW trying to add you?
Oh, yeah.
Because you take a pretty low-key approach to how you do CCW. You know, like when we're at the show, we see you, mm-hmm. but we look for you.
Yeah.
You're very mm-hmm. much, from what Ken tells, you know, me and Asa had a meeting with Ken last week, which was a 30-minute meeting.
Yeah.
Which, how long did it go, Asa?
About 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he told us, you know, you're in the back, you're constantly hustling around, you're moving back and forth. So you, even though your name is on it, I feel like you really do, like, you promote the show and not yourself.
Yeah. And that's one thing. I was, man, manager of the year like 3 or 4 times in a row and stuff like that. And I've been kicked out of states and in Arkansas and stuff like that. And I've made a lot of people, you know, upset and pissed off. And
that's Broadway. We get that a lot. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was a new cadence.
Cape Drum. It was.
Yeah, I wasn't used to that.
Shaking it up.
That was the remix.
I thought I was in England. Okay. But yeah, what were we talking about?
You manager of the year.
Oh, yeah, the promo show. So I was a pretty successful manager, and I could do what I need to do. I could, you know, I have fun out there. But when it comes to running a show, I have no desire to be out in the crowd or be in front of the crowd and perform. Because to me, I have more of an important role back in the back to make sure everything goes through. And it's a weird situation. Like I was telling one of my friends the other day that he asked me, he's like, why don't you manage? Why don't you get out there and do your thing? You were so good at it. I did an interview last week on a radio show, and they were like, man, you were awesome at managing. What took you away? It's a certain feeling, and I'll go back to the very first show. And when Brandon turned around, he clotheslined Jason Vaughn, and he turned heel. And the crowd was so into Brandon. And then it was like, what just happened? And the shock. And to think of that in my head, what was going to happen, the crowd reaction, and then to see it, it was better than the getting people to boo you and cheer you.
Right.
So it kind of, you know.
Like, you like seeing it from the outside.
Exactly. Sometimes. It fulfilled that, you know, cause when you go out there, you want to perform, you know what to do.
Yeah.
And, but you know, now it's just different. And I really enjoy it because we have people get on and talk about, you know, hey, does it matter if you're on a show and you book? And a lot of people will book a show just so they can be champion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you notice the booker of the show is the champion or the main character out there. And that's cool if that's what you want to do. But I don't want any part of that because I think it works better for me to look on the outside and not have any invested interest on what anybody does or making me look better. I just want the show to perform, the crowd to come out and enjoy it, and the guys to have fun.
We kind of, I mean, not to that extent, but we kind of feel that way with this show, you know, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, because I feel like the more time goes on, the more and more we work with Cape Championship Wrestling. And, you know, we started off just fans, literally. Mm-hmm. And then we did the podcast, and we had, who was the first person we had on?
Brandon.
Here? It was Brandon, yeah. Barbed Wire. We got him on to talk to him. And then Billy Hills came on, and then you and Lee came on, and then you and Lee and Brandon, and then Ken, and everybody's mm-hmm. on here. We did some interviews at the last show. Hopefully we'll do that again. But mm-hmm. it feels like, you know, you get to a point where, and Ken talked about this, where he's worried that we become so involved with the show that we can't sit back and enjoy it as fans. You know, he talks about, you know, Barry Carafa, mm-hmm. who is good guy, great guy. I've known him for a long, long time. It's a small world.
Yeah.
When I see these guys show up at the shows, and I'm like, oh, what's up, man? It's been so long.
Yeah.
But, you know, he told Ken that now when he watches the show, he notices little things that he works on
mm-hmm.
that he can't really take himself out of it and enjoy. He wants
when
to
he
be
sees the
there.
Bottom
yeah.
rope is a little bit loose. He can't focus on the match or what's going on because he just wants to get in there and tighten and it.
The wrench starts coming out of the pocket. Right. He's like, "Where was I? Didn't have this."
And what I told Ken for that is like, so whenever you guys aired my interview with JD, like I was talking to Allie the entire time because I don't like going back and listening to these shows because I don't really like my voice and I'm still very like why do people care about these things? Like,
we said that a thousand times.
It still
times.
Blows my mind that people listen to this show and like care that what we say. So it's just like, oh, now there's all these people and then, but I'm also like right here. So watching them watch it, like that's weird to me. Mm-hmm. So, but outside of that, like, I didn't, like, I still love the show, like, still just being able to watch it. And
Yeah, because we haven't gone too far over the line.
Right.
You know, we stay back and we do the show and we have you guys on and talk, and I like our spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I really do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dalton, when you were at the show, because you had a segment here too, you interviewed Brandon Barbwire.
Yeah.
And you also interviewed, no, it was just,
no, I just had Brandon,
Yeah. But you actually had kids come up to you. You were recognized.
Yeah,
it takes a whole different work feel for Dalton when he gets recognized.
Cause it's one of those things, and like, I do a decent enough job. Well, not decent enough. A lot of people would say differently, but like, I have, like, I do a different name than what my actual name is. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, it was really funny because the people that we're talking about know me from my personal or my professional life.
Yeah.
And they come up and start saying it. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to mask it. And now it's completely unmasked. And I'm also talking to Allie. and now I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. We did the interview last week with Brandon and Jeff, and that's going up tonight. I swear. If you're listening to the show when it's not up yet,
something's gone wrong.
Something's gone wrong. Call for an ambulance. I'm clearly dead. But we started editing it, and, you know, Lindsay, who's helping me with it, she's on the Thursday show and Nerd Up, and she's like, okay, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And we're watching it, and I can't watch myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, because I'm a depressed person anyway, and I'll notice every fault. Like, I got these mm-hmm. bags under my eyes. You ever see Sex and the City? You know the really handsome, we call him Mr. Big, and he had, like, the tired eyes? I look like Mr. Big, but without the handsome. Like, just big, big tired eyes. So yeah, it's hard to see yourself as a part of these shows.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone that, like Tanner and all these guys, they're like, you know, oh man, we can do that. As soon as we went to the first CCW show, Tanner, big, big rednecks, comes to the show. Love him. Good friend of ours. He nudges me, and he's on the show. He nudges me. He's like, we can do this. We could be a tag team. Like, we're bigger than those guys. And, you know, we watch wrestling. And just,
that's the same thing.
Yeah. And just doing the interviews mm-hmm. in a taped controlled environment was so nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I don't know how these guys go out in the ring and get in there and put on a show like that in front of everybody and not get psyched out or freak out. These guys are so good at what they do. Even the guys that aren't as good as other guys
mm-hmm.
are still so good to get in there and do that.
Yeah.
You know.
It's, man, it is. I mean, cause, and I'm not trying to, well, yeah, I am. CCW is legit.
Yeah.
Like, I got a message the other day from a guy, and he was like, hey man, I just wanted to let you know that PWG and Progressive and these other companies that are huge names. I mean, when you talk about independent wrestling, it's these guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, they're drawing this amount of people at a show. He's like, you drew right up there with them, and you only had one big name. Like, there is a lot of companies they'll come in there and their whole card is, you know, big name, big name, big name versus each other.
Like, what culture?
Yeah.
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 I mean, PWG.
PWG, AAW in Chicago. Those are all where your big names are wrestling each other. We are 95% local.
Yeah.
And we're doing it that with those guys. And that's one thing. I'm like super proud of the guys we've developed. Because Hollis Giroux was a throw on at the last minute at the very first show.
Yeah.
He wasn't booked.
No. And we saw that show and we, you know, when Hollis came out, I remember going, oh, it's Stone Cold. He's got the vest. He's, you know, but yeah, he's turned
super
into,
young. Yeah. 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 I mean, he had very little experience. I put him in the ring with a guy that I knew could, if he had any kind of problems, could save him. And that's Davey Vega.
Davey Vega. Mm-hmm.
And
I was going to say Danny Vega. Mm-hmm. Davey Vega.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking Danny too. So.
Okay. Well, this is not me.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him in.
Yeah, I could. So, you know, Davey just took care of Hollis. But he had a really, really good match. And the thing, normally, you know, a guy come in, he just does a match and that's it. But he stayed after that show. And he drove all the way from Kansas City down, and he helped take down that wrestling ring and put it up. He stayed there an hour and a half more. And I looked at Ken, and I looked at Lee, and I told him that Hollis is going to have a place here because he showed me that he is dedicated and, you know, he doesn't mind helping out. He was on the show and he was appreciative and
super respectful too.
Exactly.
You know, he comes awesome. Up to us at every show and shakes our hand and says, "What's up, guys?" Doesn't have to.
No,
like, doesn't have to. Yeah, I love Hollis.
Yeah. And a great guy. And that's somebody that we developed from. Had very little experience, and now, I mean, he's right in that main event picture for the title. You know, I mean, he's wrestling Austin Lane, you know, one of the best wrestlers, you know, in the country, in my opinion, one of the best, you know, right here. They're going to wrestle at, you know, at CCW for the number one contendership. You know, Brandon has a long list of, I've known Brandon forever, you know, as long as I know my wife. And they trained with each other and everything like that. And Brandon was actually the one that trained her. And a guy named Anton LaVey and Sarge, they all trained my wife. And so it all comes full circle. Brandon was a workhorse for all these companies in Tennessee and a lot of companies. They would bring Brandon in and they would put him in a ring with a guy and they would. It was to make that other guy look good. Brandon was clearly the best worker and the best wrestler around there, but they would use him to make all these guys that couldn't wrestle good, or wasn't that good of wrestlers, but they, you know, they had a better. Good look, you know, or something like that. And Brandon just made him look like $1 million and took him to that next level and then dropped him off. And that was it. So he was basically what Jericho was to Fandango before Fandango sucked, you know? So, you know, that's what Brandon did. So when it was my turn to do a show, I told Brandon, I said, "I'm going to give you the ball and I want you to run with it. You're going to get your opportunity to be the man here." No one's ever gave him that opportunity. As good as he is, no one had, they always had him as a mid-card guy. And I'm very proud of what Brandon's become. Same thing with Billy. Billy was a big baby face everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You know, people cheered him. You go over to Stride and see what he is there. I mean, the fans love him. I mean, but
which is always a trip.
It's because we've only seen
same thing with
bad
Sarah.
Guy Billy.
Sarah. Yeah. Oh, especially Sarah. Because we see Sarah in CCW. She's, you know, I don't want to say what
she's
does.
Just mean.
She's mean.
She's just mean.
In Stride, she literally jumped into our arms the first time we went there. So it's crazy to see. You know,
And it's cool to give those guys opportunities to do something different. Billy is one of the best heels around this area.
Agreed.
I mean, he is one of the over-the-top heels, and he's great.
Yeah.
He's an awesome talent. We've been so lucky to bring him in, and I think JD has a great future coming in.
JD also super respectful. I love these guys that just, you know, they talk to you during the intermission, they shake your hand. That Sarge was the first guy. We met him at the first show and saw him at intermission, and I don't like to talk to talent because I don't want to bother them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that wrestling fan that goes, "Oh, they owe me, I'm paying a ticket." No, I'm the opposite. Asa, I think you and I are the same. Probably
that's something we talked to Ken about too. It's like, we always just, like anything, even like, you know, with the backstage stuff, it's like, we're so hesitant to even like float ideas.
Right.
Because it's like, well, we don't want, we're the fans.
We don't want to bother these guys.
We're not stepping on any toes. We don't want to be the.
But Sarge, you know, at intermission, I decided, okay, I love Sarge. He was so good. I want to tell him he was good, you know? Yeah. And I just said, "Sarge, you know, I just want to let you know, man, that was a great show out there. You were really good." He's the nicest guy in the world. Shakes my hand every show. He added me on Facebook. The next show, he points at me. He messaged me and says, "I knew you were out there, you son of a bitch." You know, that's something.
Yeah.
It's just great, man.
And Sarge is, like, one of the ones I've known forever. Like, got my starting a business. The first ever time I managed someone, he put me in there. He was booking a show and he put me in there. And, I was actually managing one of the guys that, wrestles now, Sin, grew up with him. And, I finally, it's weird to call him Sin, but yeah, Sin, he is so talented.
Yeah.
And people will get to see that in time, how good he is. And it's always, you know, it's just slowly bringing somebody along and developing that character and letting people actually see how good these guys are, because now we're bringing in Tattoo, who in Memphis, Tattoo has a great reputation. He runs the company. You know, he does his thing and he's a high flyer. I mean, does all the crazy stuff, but that's something that we don't have here.
Right.
Guys that are doing 450 and stuff like that. So we're adding that in, a different element. And the different talent that we're bringing into the show, I think just like, kind of makes it all the way around a great show. You got your high flyers, you got your comedy, you got your, you know, just intense wrestling. I mean, you got everything that you could want. And, you know, it's one of those I tell everybody every time I do a live Facebook Live, I'm just so proud of, you know, all those guys.
How do you strike a balance? Because I think at the last show we even mentioned it. It's like, you know, we haven't, I know Dalton and I for sure. I don't know if you guys have it all. Like, I'd never seen the LA Hustlers or Roscoe Eat Lisa or Sin. Like, these are all the first times we've seen them. And we mentioned, and we told you, it's like, yeah, it's almost like everyone you bring in is just like so crazy good. We immediately become fans with. So how do you find a balance between, you know, keeping, you know, well, Brandon's the champion, but like Billy and Hollis and Austin, you know, making, you know, keeping sure because you want to keep working with them, but then also, you know, for how long you've been doing this, you know, bringing in these other people to be able to work with, like, how do you find that balance of, okay, well, I want to have a spot for this person, but, you know, I also want to bring in these other names, you know, so like bringing in Tattoo and.
Yeah. And it's always about a slow development. You know, Austin is the only one that I ever brung in and put him in a main event, like first time out. Because I knew what Austin was going to bring to the table. I guarantee you that 90% of that crowd came to see Ricochet, but left as an Austin Lane fan.
We did.
Yep.
And just that right there made Austin relevant here, which he is everywhere else, you know, Arkansas and Mississippi and Tennessee. Everybody knows how good he is. Now people here know him. So it's all about bringing in and letting them recognize. We don't have a mid title. We don't have that Intercontinental U.S. title. We have the world and we have the tag team. So between that, anybody could be the champion out of that whole group. I mean, if Cody Wilson went against Brandon next month, it's still going to be a good match and people are going to get to see that. But people need to see Cody more and develop him more before I put him in that spot. Right now, you can put, man, there's 5 or 6 guys you can put in for the title.
Yeah.
That's something we've even mentioned before is it's just like, it feels like, you know, everyone is, there's no clear B level. Mm-hmm. Everyone feels as important as each other. And even, you know, with JD being so new, like his match with Jason Vaughn, like that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it seems like, you know, no, JD could actually, you know,
could win.
Yeah. He, like, and he's a believable challenger.
And if he wins, he instantly gets put up in that title, like, shot area where it's just like, well, I mean, he has a valid point because he's,
look at Blaster.
Yeah.
Like, all jokes aside, Blaster is a guy that, by all means, should have just been an afterthought and has now become, you know, you guys say it on the show all the time, he's one of the crowd darlings. He really is.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Blaster for a second.
Yeah.
So, Ken told us the story. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. At least I didn't know, Ace. You didn't know either. After the first match. So, all right, Dalton, brace yourself.
Yeah.
Blaster and Genesis are the same guy.
I'm quitting the show.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. He's a friend of a friend.
You mean they don't just have the same pants?
No.
Because you can buy the same pants.
But, so Ken told us how after the first match, Genesis against Jake Durden.
Mm-hmm.
And Durden wasn't happy.
No.
With how the match went. And Ken said he thought he would never see Genesis again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was Dale Wilde couldn't make the show. Mm-hmm. And so they got a replacement and they put a Sin Cara mask on Genesis.
Yeah.
Now he's Blaster.
Mm-hmm.
it still giggles me. I'm sorry.
It does. But because he's become, the character is good. The character is solid. The mask, the outfit, like he's developed into a great, he's not the same guy that was in the Sin Cara mask.
Yeah.
How do you feel about a guy like Blaster who by all means should never have been in the position that he's in now, but the crowd's hot for him. I've seen improvement, even his wrestling.
Yes.
I will not lie. That Genesis Durden match, I wasn't a big fan of either. Mm-hmm. You remember Allie, I wasn't impressed by Genesis.
Yeah.
But as Blaster, I started thinking about Tremors 2, sorry. and the success that Blaster's had, he won our 2016
moment of the year.
Is there any resentment towards Blaster's success? Like, do you guys go,
oh, no,
he shouldn't be there?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's like, are you going to get mad by finding another piece of gold?
No. I'm still looking for the first piece of gold.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, okay, I'm loaded with this, you know, all this talent right here that's great. And then Blaster comes along, and you guys, like I said, had a lot of help
We might have steered it.
But now he's there.
He is.
And people cheer him and people buy his merch. And like, yeah. And people support him. And he has gotten a lot better in the ring.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, there's no way I'd resent what he's become. Like I said, it's one of those where, hey, it's just the rich keep getting richer.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you can put Blaster in there and him and Sin can go after the tag team titles and that's going to be a legit match.
People are invested in him.
Yeah.
They're invested in those. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Axel.
Well, that was one of my favorite moments from the tag team was when, so, you know, Blaster finally turns and we get, you know, him just dragging literally Jeff O'Dell, kicking
and
screaming.
That was a great, great moment.
Yeah.
But then, and then you have Sin back Blaster.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we hadn't seen Sin before, and just, but like, just that kind of fire that he showed.
Mm-hmm.
And so now like, oh no, I'm legitimately excited to see what seemed like kind of like a last minute replacement throwaway team.
Right.
Now they actually feel like, oh no, there's actually, you know, a bond there.
Yeah, because Sin cut a good promo at the end of that thing where he said that Blaster was a real man, you know, and that kind of stuff. And that was, really, really cool.
And fixed the trophy.
He fixed the trophy.
Sin is first in our hearts.
We spent minutes on that.
I also kind of wonder because like the first time we saw Del Tucker,
mm-hmm.
It was that big. That was the first time that was when like Blaster made his surprise return because we knew he wasn't going to be there because you know we thought he was hurt.
He was in jail.
And then like and then you know Ken gives us the look as he announced and we just and that's you know when we really kind of really popped for Blaster that big one. And just Del, and who was supposed to be a bad guy because he's, you know, in the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And no, then just Del Tucker.
At that point, he was a.
No, he was a bad guy.
Del was the good guy.
Yeah. So, and so Del's in the ring and he's just looking at us like we're nuts.
Yeah. Like, I want to see Blaster.
Cause we cheered him when he came out.
Yeah.
Like we did. But yeah. And then so it's just like, wait, why are they cheering? So part of me always wonders like, do you guys warn them? Like, okay, so this is Blaster. He's kind of like the CCW mascot almost. Like,
because that's the only time that we went against the grain.
Right.
We normally follow. You said you want him portrayed as a bad guy. We react to him as a bad guy. We are friends with Billy Hills.
Mm-hmm.
We're friends with Sarah Summers. We're friends with Brandon. Brandon's a good friend of ours. But we boo the shit out of him when they come out.
Yeah.
But Blaster is the only one that we were like, no, that's our guy.
We're cheering Blaster. But so like with Del Tucker, it's like I almost felt bad because it's like, is that scene is almost like disrespectful?
No.
Because it's like, and Del Tucker is another guy who comes in just kind of like
immediate.
I think
immediate
I don't know if he was a
he was Austin's replacement.
He replaced Austin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so and Austin even told us is like, no, you guys are gonna love this guy, and we did. Like immediately, like just his trunks. Like he's got he has the fear lantern core on one of them. Like I was a huge fan of his from the get go, but then he's going up against Blaster. I'm like, well, I can't pick a favorite. but it's like, oh man, I almost feel bad for not, you know, giving him like probably what, you know, the reaction that he really deserves because we're also.
But he played so well off of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing. Like, we have the young guys that are still learning, that are coming in, you know, Cody and Hollis and Blaster
Phoenix.
Still learning and JD and, who'd you say?
Phoenix.
Phoenix X. Yes.
Which, how many Phoenixes are there? Because there's at least two Phoenixes that I know. Scott Phoenix, right?
Scott Phoenix from Stride.
Yep.
Stride.
Yeah.
Which Ken, did I tell you that what Ken told me in the middle of that match? Like, he got my attention. He was like, he has good hair. Like, that was Ken's. Ken's
like,
just like, that's.
Robin with my hair.
Yeah, no, he was just Ken. Ken just looked at me and he was just like, he has good hair. I'm happy that's what you noticed, Ken.
I don't remember much from that Stride show because I was really sick. I don't know if you saw me over there. I was pouring buckets of sweat.
He was also rocking in his chair.
Yeah, I was just trying to stay alive.
Oh, well.
So
I would have got some orange juice if I would have known.
I love orange juice.
What's wrong with that?
You guys did go to Stride.
Yep.
Anything you can tell us about that? Were you just there to see, because I hear you're a big fan of Little Bit.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of Little Bit. So.
Yeah.
Well, Little Bit wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Marty Gras was there.
Marty.
And that damn glitter. Go on.
She glitter
bomb. Trust me.
Yeah.
There is nothing worse than that. And I'm glad, I mean, from, we would go to a Tennessee show and she would do that crap and have it all over. And then I would be sitting there talking to Sarge or whatever and she just comes sit on me and then it's just,
you're glittered.
Oh,
yeah, it transferred to Sarah, which transferred to Dalton.
Because she and hugged me. Like, she was like, hey, Dalton, what's up? And then hugs me, knowing what she was doing good and well.
Yeah, because she also
knowing what she was doing good and well.
She also was just like, hey, glitter.
Yeah.
She gave you the hugs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's everywhere. And then she throws it.
Yeah.
And that just made it worse.
And every wrestler that came to the ring after that said, what's up with this glitter?
There was so much glitter.
Like, it was Mardi Gras.
Yeah, everyone came back with it. So, yeah, of course, you know, I always go to support her whenever she's there. She'll be back April 6th.
Oh, that's right.
Or 8th. Awesome. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. Yeah, she'll be back over there then. So, yeah.
Was that her Illinois debut?
Yeah,
it was a completely Illinois debut.
Yeah, that was the first one over there. And, you know, I've known Heath for a while, and some of the other guys are pretty cool up there that I got to meet for the first time, of course. You know, go and support Billy. It was kind of weird to see him come around, give Ken a hug.
Yeah.
Then he asked if he could get a gift certificate at Starbucks.
He's talking about burning it down.
Yeah, maybe he just said he wants it hot.
The Mississippi River does something weird to Billy Hill.
Yeah, it
does.
Yeah.
In the air. It's so weird to see a lot of those guys, because I grew up with some of those guys and didn't realize it. Like Brandon, Brandon Barbwire. I've known Brandon for 5-10 years and didn't know it. Because I noticed when we first met him, I was like, okay, I went to his page and looked at him. He's friends of my friend, Jeremy Evers. And then I remember seeing Brandon around, and I'm like, I know I recognize him somewhere. But I don't remember where. But he just has a face that you hate and remember.
Yeah, exactly.
Beauregard. Is it Beauregard?
Yeah.
Beauregard at Stride. I grew up with him. Like, he was my friend's brother.
Oh.
Didn't realize until Tanner told me. So, yeah, it's weird. Small world.
Yeah.
Again, small world. We're all connected. It's love.
So just bring it up Illinois, like, so that's her Illinois. I know, Missouri is apparently incredibly difficult to do anything professional wrestling related.
It is such a pain. Yes.
Cause that's something that Ken brought up, is it's, you know, like, no one really is doing it because of all of the hassles you have to go through.
Yeah.
So
it's a curse and a blessing all at the same time.
Right. Because then if you're one of the fewer games in town.
Just say Dyersburg, Tennessee. It has about 4 wrestling shows on Saturday night, 3 or 4 around that area. And 30 miles.
Is that where Sarge is?
Well, he was over in Union City. Now he goes to Dyersburg. Right. So yeah, he was over in Dyersburg, and like I said, there's one down the road from that's the NWA. There's and they're Friday and Saturdays. There's just so much wrestling. For here, you're gonna have to travel 2 hours north or south to see wrestling on Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're the only ones here. But yes, the commission is very, very they are very, very strict and had to follow guidelines.
So is that one of the things that kind of – was that a determining factor in doing it in Missouri, like to kind of try to be one of the only shows as opposed to having to compete with, you know, like you said, 4 other shows on a night? Or do you think is that kind of –
Well,
what kind of, what led you to wanting it to do, like, here in Cape with, you know, with all of those hassles of the commission as opposed to, you know, running another show, well, not in Arkansas, because you might have to throw on a mask, but, you know, Illinois.
But I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the government in Arkansas shut the commission down.
Oh, so your band might be up.
Yeah, I think so. I can go back now.
Oh, well.
He's going to go back now, and I can beat up a fan if they get in the ring again. So, but yeah, it was all Ken's idea, because no one would even think about running because you have to put so much money up to begin with, to even start before you even put up a ring. There was so much money up front, and, Ken really, really wanted to do it. And like he had a desire to, and I guess, one of the guys he was talking to kind of gave him this, story about it, bringing a guy in, Lanny Poffo.
Yeah.
Oh, Leapin' Lanny?
Yeah, Leapin' Lanny.
Okay. The genius!
So I tease Ken about this all the time. He likes these old guys that, you know what I'm saying, that I don't care about, you know. And God bless Leapin' Lanny, you know what I'm saying? I would bring him in, you know, as a tribute kind of thing, but I'm not into...
You don't want to see him wrestle.
For me,
the nostalgia,
you know,
act isn't what you're going for.
Exactly. Not here. I don't think that's what we need. I don't think that... Greg the Hammer Valentine or Honky Tonk Man or something like that is not going to be something that I want here.
What about Hulk Hogan?
Hogan, I would take Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
As long as you get X-Pac, that's as old as you need to go
I can call him. You want me to? I got his number.
I just pass the phone to Dalton and go, hey, somebody wants
and
to talk to you.
And he just runs and,
cause I just want to sign pictures.
I know on that road trip, you talked about you hadn't really seen much of community, but, Donald Glover meeting,
LeVar Burton,
just wide-eyed, just the terror. Like, hey, Dalton, X-Pac's on the phone.
Yeah, like, oh, no, I lose my mind.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my one. Like, that would be the one. Any other
of them. Just on a side note, when I called Matt Hardy and he didn't answer and it went to his voicemail and he has the broken on his voicemail, that was a little intimidating. I was like, man, am I going to talk to this guy and it's going to be...
Is it going to be in character the entire time?
And a lot of people asked
that. Did you get to meet Ruby?
No, not yet. I will.
Because I always wonder what she's like in person. Because her Twitter alone is fascinating.
Yeah, she's mm-hmm. awesome. She's got to be
crazy.
Yeah.
We only have about 7 minutes left because mm-hmm. this has been fascinating, a lot of fun. I have a couple questions I want to ask. Just I'm curious. How many times a day do you get messages either suggesting things to you or asking you to be a part of it?
Let's see. Well, if we add in the CCW page itself, just a lot of guys wanting to come in and work. And
how many of them are viable versus it's just some guy that's – he's 20 here. He really likes wrestling.
Well, here's the thing. Like
he might do role-playing games.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is I actually will not book a guy until I see him wrestle. You know, and seeing him wrestle is just not on – I want to see him live.
Right,
I want to see how he interacts. So I want to see the whole.
Like if he just sees you a YouTube match from 3 years ago, that's that's actually pretty.
Yeah,
good,
this is the greatest match of my life. You know what I'm saying? I could get in there with I can wrestle if I wanted to. I'm okay, but if I got in there with Austin, I would actually look.
Yeah, because Austin's that good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that shows those guys. They can get in there with a really good guy, and they can have a good match. You know, but if I see, I want to see you live before I will really book you. Roscoe and Lisa.
They were fantastic.
Yeah, the LA Hustlers.
So uncomfortably fantastic.
Yeah, Espy and Ace also coming
Love
in and doing stuff.
I'm really excited to see that match again.
Yeah, like, seeing them do their thing. I mean, they're great. So I get a lot of messages, a pretty good bit. And Ken's even like, man, what are you gonna do with this? Either people wanting us to train them to be wrestlers, or them just saying, hey, you know, I'm a
good
champion in Kansas City. That means nothing to me here.
Mm-hmm. How many complaints do you get?
I mean, what?
Do you get complaints?
Complaints?
Does Ken gets calls, or is that just Ken?
Yeah. Well, Ken will get a call, but it's mostly his wife and getting on to him. But no, it's, I don't know. Like, I never really get complaints. There was a couple about, you know, normally they come from Ken because people come to him first and say, hey, you
something
know,
happened.
So yeah, something happened. And they'd be like, hey, the show went long. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'm sorry. If Matt Hardy wants to sing and take pictures, I'm not going to stop him. Right. You know, if Kyle O'Reilly's in the ring with Tony Cazzino and they're taking pictures with all the fans, I'm not going to say, hey, I'm sorry. You can't take pictures right now. We're going to go extra 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, so sometimes the show is going to go a little bit longer. We try to do what we can to get it over at 10, but you know, it's just extra time. You know what I'm saying? If an NBA game goes into overtime, I don't hear people crying about
it.
Right. So.
Yeah. No one wants to, I mean, when you have a good thing, you don't want it to end.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, yeah, it can get late. Like the last show did run a little late, but like we were never bored. We didn't want it to end.
The only reason we started getting tired is because our voices started to hurt.
Oh my God. So much. Towards the last match. And of course, the last match had Matt Hardy.
Right.
So he's yelling delete and we're all like, delete. Who are you most afraid to give a mic to live?
Billy.
Is it Billy?
Yeah. Billy. Yeah. It's clearly Billy. And Ken will tell you that. Like, he gave him the mic when they won the tag team titles. And Ken just looked at me and he's like, he did not say nothing.
So
it went easy. So it was okay.
I was at Denny's with Billy that night and he was watching the match, like, as we were eating. And he just leans over to me and he was just like, hey, was the gay joke too far? And I was just like, Jesus, Billy, if you have to ask, that might give you the answer, but you're good. Yeah. You're good.
Which that wasn't on mic. That was just yelling before
He doesn't need a mic.
He really doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
That
not.
Dude can project. Yeah. My ex-girlfriend, Vina, she always used to get on to me because we did plays together and stuff. And she always yelled, you need to project more. Project more. Billy projects very well.
Yeah, he's very loud. Yeah, you can hear him.
You can hear Billy anywhere.
Yeah.
Who's the number one most requested wrestler you get?
To bring in?
To bring in.
Oh, right now. It's probably
not X-Pac, Dalton.
No, it's
right
not.
Now it is.
He's about to fill the inbox.
Yeah, he's about to fill it up. Right now it's been Cody. Cody Rhodes. Yeah, it's been him, that's being requested. You know, the Moose thing has been requested a couple times. And, I was actually the first guy to book Moose in the Tennessee area. So we have a relationship from a year or so ago. He worked Osby, for the KOK title. So he came in and did that. So we get some requests for some of the guys. I mean, some of them are.
So what's the most outlandish request you get?
Well, you know, it's a lot where, hey, you know, why don't you bring in the Young Bucks? Well, that'd be great. But there's a lot of guys.
Bring in Cena.
They don't understand that with Ring of Honor, now they're signing exclusive deals. So I can't get, you know, a lot of guys that we could before. You know, Jay Lethal signed up, Marty Scroll, Christopher Daniels. Mm-hmm. There he is. Yeah, Chris and, a lot of those guys from Ring of Honor are just getting signed up right now, and I can't get them
right.
as much as I would love to. I can't.
Because you lucked out with Ellsworth. Because it was right before that contract.
Yeah, he did one more indie show, and then he went full-time WWE. So, yeah, we got him there at the last minute. We've been really lucky with a lot of the guys, you know, even with Matt, you know.
Big rumor is they got an offer from WWE.
A new one, yeah.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. Oh, no. Jason's doing the pudding pop face. Something's happening.
So I was wondering, like, so what is your goal with CCW? Like, are you looking to... You know, Bill, clearly you're wanting to put on the best shows that you can because you have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the show's been phenomenal. Are you just trying to grow that brand? Like, do you look at people like Hollis? And, you know, so maybe he gets some notoriety here that leads to other bookings, like, to kind of help him expand his career.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking to actively, like, help the guys? Are you trying to just kind of, like, I don't...
Because Hollis was on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, he was on Monday Night Raw. That's the big show.
Yeah, he thanked me for that.
Did he?
Yeah, no.
Not for that segment.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He should have gave me a shout out. But when it comes to CCW, it's really hard to say a long-term goal because in wrestling, it's really hard to think, you know, what's up next? What do you got going on? My first goal is to have a television show on local TV by the end of the year. That's
my
goal.
So you want to have CCW on?
I want a Saturday morning show. I grew up with Memphis Wrestling.
Weekly or monthly?
I would like weekly.
Weekly?
But I would take monthly if that's the deal. I mean.
Now, if you need anchors.
Gotcha.
You know a couple guys.
I do know a couple guys. I grew up with Memphis Wrestling, and that's what they did. Every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., they had Memphis Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, come out to the show tonight. And then people would do it, you know, and come out and they. The Mid-South Coliseum was like the place. It was packed every Monday night. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but there were so many sellouts there in a row. And it had a lot to do with the Saturday morning TV. That's what my goal is. And, that's what I told Ken by the end of the year or, you know, in the future, I would like to have that.
Do you have a channel that you're thinking about? Like, where would you like to be?
If it was up to me, I would say KFES.
KFES.
Yeah, right here. I think it's local because Memphis, they did it at they actually did their wrestling show at the television station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They cleared out all the stuff, put the ring in there. They invited 100 fans and they would do it right there. And it was awesome. And that's what I would love to create that here. And that's something that hadn't been. So, that would be exciting for me to do that. And I think it would just lead to us becoming, you know, more recognized. We are recognized now from people that, you know.
Yeah, the difference between that first show that we got to go to, because we didn't get to go to the Comic-Con show, but the first show that we went to, the crowd reaction then versus the crowd reaction now.
Yeah.
Like CCW has come so far.
Yeah.
You know, it's doing extraordinarily well.
Yeah.
Ticket sales strong?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the first two rows. Yeah, I think the first row sold out like the show before in like 4 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the first two sold out in 20. So it is crazy. And we don't have that guy coming in. You know, we don't have Matt coming in or something like, you know, Ricochet or whatever.
These are homegrown talent.
Yeah. This is our guys. This is what you're going to see, you know, mostly. And, you know, we got some stuff planned for the future and, the super show is going to be incredible with Colt and Jeff and Joey.
And I'm real sad. I'm real sad about that because I here at Gaming Grounds is where I run, and we're going to have a booth at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Ken asked, would you be interested in doing ring announcing for the Girl Fight Show?
Yep, find out.
I want to, but, you know, like I have a responsibility to my store, you know,
absolutely,
that he pays me for. So, yeah, but hopefully that's not the end of it. I have the card here for this Saturday show.
Yeah.
Or at least what we know. And you can tell us about this. We'll go over it because we're just about out of time. First off, you got the championship match, Sexy Sarge O'Reilly versus Brandon Barbed Wire. That should be great. Sarge is just so good at being Sarge.
Yeah.
And Brandon, you know, the first time I saw Brandon, I think I've told Brandon this before, when he was the babyface coming out there, you know, that first tournament, I thought as a babyface, I didn't know him as a wrestler. And he was kind of bland, I thought. I thought he was kind of a bland. He was just kind of, here's the guy. Here's the good guy. The moment he turned, epic. But especially his mic work. And when he comes on this show, you know, to Pro Wrestling Unscripted, he is so good. his facial expressions, his drama that he conveys and his anger, especially when he's mad.
Yeah.
He can go from, you know, 0 to 100 in like that. Mm-hmm. He's remarkable as champion. And I'm glad to see him going up against Sarge again. And I'm excited for that match. You got Brandon Espinosa going up against Ace Hawkins.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 5-star match.
Yeah.
No mm-hmm. doubt.
Of course. Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Sin and Blaster
mm-hmm.
versus, now I know Billy Hills.
Yeah.
But can we talk about who's going to be there with Billy, or is this,
yeah, no, no.
Yeah, it's been announced.
Yeah. Damone is going to be,
I saw a video that Damone's hurt.
He is, well, he's injured, but he's good to go. Sucking it up and coming. Yeah.
Damone's another guy that when you mm-hmm. guys brought him in, it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That no, guy's his entrance, scary. Yeah, his entrance alone. And then just, so that was the thing because we all talked about it because we ended up, we went and said hi to Austin and Nikki
yes.
at their table. And he was right there next to him
mm-hmm.
and he stood up and we talked to him for a little bit too. Super nice guy. But it was one of those things like, so when we first saw him in Chaffee and, we chanted that guy's scary, but then he stared at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we immediately stopped because he legitimately like
scared us.
Dude was yeah. like, yeah, he like, he, like yeah. it
his
was
pecs are popping.
But then we see him and then he's like, he's not a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where it's like, you never would have realized that. Like even being on the floor and being that close to him in the ring.
You have
like,
to stand right next to him to see that he's.
To really like, cause he
is big.
Because he's like just, that character that he does and just like the way he presents himself and carries himself in the ring, like.
It makes him look way bigger.
He
walks over,
he walks over there at the end of the show and we're sitting there talking to Brandon and mm-hmm. I think Sarah.
Yeah.
Billy mm-hmm. wasn't out yet. And Brandon hands me the new title. It's right after I got the new title. So Brandon hands it to me and I'm holding it. I put it over my shoulder. There's a picture mm-hmm. of me on Facebook holding the title, which I really like. Mm-hmm. And then Damone walks over and he looks at me and he looks at Brandon. He goes, "You letting this person hold that title?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know Damone enough. Don't want to piss him off." We got, I think it's a triple threat match with the ladies, right?
Yes.
Nikki
yes.
Lane versus, Little Bit or Mardi Gras?
Mardi Gras.
Versus Mardi Gras versus Sarah Summers.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we get to see Nikki wrestle.
Yep.
I've been wanting Nikki Lane to come in since we've known Austin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the moment we knew Austin, Nikki added, I think all of us pretty much on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see her, but we never got to see her wrestle. I'm super excited about this. Mm-hmm. Austin Lane versus Hollis Giroux, my pick for match of the night. As much as I think it could be from an entertainment value of Sarge and Brandon for sure, mm-hmm. from an in-ring perspective, Ace versus Brandon, different Brandon, Espy, let's say Espy. Yeah. But, I think Hollis and Austin, I've been waiting for this match. For a while.
Yeah.
This is going to tear the house down.
Yeah. And it's going to, a lot of things, you know, I heard you talk about storylines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, before saying, you know, sometimes it's good not to have the big name come in so you're more interested in how these stories going to develop, what's going to happen next. So with this one, now you're going to find out who's going to go into the Super Show as the champion and who's going to go against him. And so many storylines are going to be, like, tied in with this show just leading up to it. It, you know,
this is like the prequel. This is the issue zero to lead into the big first issue, the big thing. I don't know comics. Ace of Hell.
No, that's good.
Yeah, you're good.
So, yeah, I'm really excited just about the storytelling for this show and to see the reactions and see how things get over. And,
yeah, because every match on this show, except for maybe, Tattoo, because mm-hmm. this is his first match.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going up against Cody Wilson, right?
The Cody Wilson.
Yeah. The Cody Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. 100. Whatever. And that's going to be a great
Twitter
match.
Twitter verified.
Not for me.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm
not
this
kidding.
Guy.
No, just kidding.
Not your Twitter.
Not my Twitter.
But you got the tag team match that has a good storyline coming out of Tag Team Warfare. Of course, Brandon and Ace have a storyline that goes back a while mm-hmm. and kind of revisiting here. Sexy Sarge goes all the way back to the first show and the second show when he turned on Pinnacle and Pinnacle turned on him.
Yeah. Brandon and, Sarge were the very first match
it was.
We ever had at CCW.
Yep. I was there for it and I remember just Sarge's, you know, yeah. got hit. Oh, mm-hmm. just flung me over. And then, of course, the women's match and then, Jason versus JD. We'll leave it at that because I don't know how much we need to say about mm-hmm. the behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
God, that's going to make people wonder. People are going to message now and go like, what's going on?
What's going on?
Is Jason a dick?
Yeah.
Of course not. Of course not. So that is this Saturday at the AC Broadway Arena.
I can't do it. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a great show. There are still tickets available.
Yes, we have general admission tickets left.
Yes.
Yeah, you can get those at capewrestling.com. I think we got them until maybe next Wednesday, I think, on sale, what he said. Because this week, I think tomorrow – sometime this week, Super Show tickets go on sale. I had to ask from Ken, but I think that was might be Friday
Monday?
Or Monday.
I think you announced, I think on that video where you announced the girl fight tickets, it was Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the girl fight tickets are on sale now. You can get those.
Right.
Then we had the special deal for everybody that, got tickets early for this show in the first 24 hours gets to go early to get tickets for the super show. So you kind of get that little deal. Mm-hmm. And then it goes for just out there, I think, like 2 days later.
Right.
So Ken keeps changing it every couple of days. So it's hard to tell.
Cause God bless Ken.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, how many tickets? You know, how are they looking? Well, they're not on sale yet. We're going to wait a couple of days. Like, I'm emailing everybody. All right, Ken. Cool.
So we got that this in March Madness this Saturday.
Yep.
Bell times at 7, doors open at 6.
Mm-hmm.
We implore you, please go support Cape Championship Wrestling. It's the best money you'll spend. And that's going to do it for us. Cool. Jason.
And come out because you never know who will show up.
Is that a hint or?
It might be.
You're giving me the eyes right now.
You never know who will show up there.
It's true. It's true. We didn't know Blaster was going to be there that one show.
No.
Nobody knew that.
Yep.
Blaster.
Yeah.
We haven't done that in a while.
We can't now because he's legit. Last thing before we get out of here. We talked to Brandon about this when he was here filming with Jeff. Before, like Brandon and Billy, Jeff O'Dell, those guys would almost exclusively come over to where we sat because we would give it to them. I mean, there was a time Billy got in my face and we yelled at each other. Like, and people thought we were actually like mad because I was getting pissed off, but I was trying to pretend to be pissed off. So it worked out well. But nowadays they don't have to come over to us. You know, Brandon, Jeff, Billy, they don't come over and play to us, but they don't have to. Like, the crowd is so into them. Yeah. They know we're supporting them. They can go wherever they want and get all these new people and interact with them. And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
The level of interaction you get at Cape Championship Wrestling with these guys. We've said it. That's the best part of it. You won't get that at WWE.
And with Billy, you don't have to have a first row ticket. He'll yell at you from the balcony.
He will.
If you throw an M&M at you,
don't throw
he will give you special treatment.
Don't throw anything.
Don't throw anything at the wrestlers at all. Please.
Ever.
Don't feed the animals.
Trash birds.
Don't do that. You're just asking for it if you do.
All right. So we got to get out of here. Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
We'll have you back on. You know, I'd like to continue this another time. We'll talk more about your history. We'll just do a Jason Wells show.
Yeah.
You know, because you are – how long have you been doing this?
It's going on about 9 years now. I'm interested.
That's half your age almost. All right, well, we better get out of here now. Yeah.
R.I.P. in peace.
Tomorrow, we got Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We're going to talk about Paige. We're going to talk about Paige.
Can you just play the audio of the...
No.
Uh-uh. No.
I didn't even say what the audio was.
We may play audio of Lee watching.
Oh, okay.
That would be funny. No, not at all.
Did you say
all
Lee? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, he did whoop, 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 whoop.
Oh!
It's in your head now.
Oh, my God. We have to end it so I can make the joke. End it so I can make the joke off air.
We're also going to complain about the big deal, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. We're building up a year for that one. Asa, a year. And we got all the latest news and rumors of wrestling tomorrow. Pro Wrestling Unscripted, we are out of here. Thank you again, Jason Wells, Ali, Asa, Dalton. Dalton especially, thanks for being on the Tuesday show.
No problem.
You don't get here usually. We'll see you tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and have a great night.